Well, first of all, if you need notes, you can raise your hand and we'll get some notes in your hand if you never got one yet. Got one here, a couple back there. Okay, thanks, brother. Oh, okay. Well, the title of my sermon today is Sleepless, but not Godless. Sleepless, but not Godless. You know, you gotta understand, sleeping disorders are nothing new. You know, according to the Sleep Wellness Institute, more than 100 million Americans suffer from some form of sleeping disorder. You know, on the internet, I found a study that concluded these are the top three reasons why people suffer from insomnia. Well, let's start off with number three. The number three reason is because people drink too much caffeine. And if you're making frequent visits to Starbucks, and you're drinking all these sodas like Pepsi and Mountain Dew and Coke, that could be a possible reason that caffeine is keeping you up late at night. And number two here, it could be you have a sleeping disorder. You guys heard of it, right? Sleep apnea, or you know, excessive or severe snoring to the point where you wake up constantly throughout the night. And another one is a restless leg syndrome, where your leg just kind of just kicks like that. And if you have a spouse, oh, you know how that is, right? But yeah, some people, they suffer from that. And the other one, the number one reason why people can't sleep at night, guess why? Because of stress. Yes, that big S word, stress. And because they keep thinking about all the issues in their lives. And it's causing so much stress that they're up all night staring at the wall, and they're just focused on those troubles that, guess what, is just overtaking them, it's crushing them, and they can't sleep very well. And you know, and as I read these articles, you know, many doctors advise that their patients try to perform breathing exercises and try to let go of the daily stress before retiring in the evening. But you know, as believers, we got to remember, for us, as we let go, we must let God. Gotta let God come in and help to settle that peace that is in our minds and in our hearts. Because if that's the reason why you can't sleep, no, God, He can fill you with His peace, but you must let go and give it to Him. And that way, you know, we may have better sleep, but you know, even if we don't immediately have it, you know what? I gotta tell you, it's okay. The most important thing is that, yeah, we may be sleepless, but we are not godless. But sometimes people will come to me and say, oh, Pastor, I cannot sleep. How come God don't care about me anymore? No, God loves you. If there's a reason why that you're up, you know, just say, Lord, why am I up? Why can't I sleep? You go to God about it, and He will speak to you, and He's going to fill you up with His presence. Don't let something like this steal your joy. God never leaves you. God is always with you. Amen. And you know, several Bible characters had bouts with insomnia. Well, first person I can think of is Job. Look what he says. It's in your notes, Job 7, 3 to 4. Look what he says. So I have been allotted months of futility. You know what futility is, right? No hope. And he says, and nights of misery have been assigned to me. When I lie down and think, how long before I get up? The night drags on, and I toss, and I turn until dawn. You guys ever been there? You're just tossing to and fro in your bed. Oh, when is daylight coming? I've been there. I know what that's like. It's not a pleasant place to be, but I've learned to turn into a positive thing. And we're going to talk about some of these positive things in just a minute here. But another person who struggled with insomnia is Nebuchadnezzar. Look. Well, it's not in your notes. I'm going to read it to you. And this is found in Daniel 2:1. He says here, in the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled, and he could not, what? Sleep. Another person is Jacob, found in Genesis 31:40. Oh, this is what he says. This was my situation. The heat consumed me in the daytime, and the cold at night, and sleep fled from my eyes. That's what Jacob said. Another person was David in Psalm 6:6. He says, I am worn out from my groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. And then Another one is Solomon's wife and lover in the Song of Songs. This is what she says. All night long on my bed, I look for the one my heart loves. I look for him, but I did not find him. And the whole thing about this, we know there are reasons why we're up. It could be stress, but it could be other things. The most important thing is don't blame it on God. And don't say, Lord, why are you keeping me up? Don't you like me anymore? Don't do that. Just go with the positive and believe God has a reason why you may be up. Well, look what it says here in your notes. It says sleeplessness can lead to the following five S's. That's five S's that I got laid out for you here. First one, the thing is, we know when we're up, sometimes we feel like we got to do something. We have to entertain ourselves because it just seems like it's such a terrible thing just to be up in the middle of the night. Well, the first one is, the one you don't want to do is sin. So right? I-N, sin. You got the S there already. So the first one is, you got to avoid sin. Look what it says in 2 Samuel 11, 2-5. And we'll find out, you already know probably, right, what David did here. It says, one evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of his palace. He got up one late in the night, probably, and he went on the roof of his palace. And it says, from the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David, saying, I am pregnant. And just to think, it all started when David probably had a bout with what? Insomnia, sleeplessness, right? He arose in the middle of the night and on his roof, guess what? He saw Bathsheba taking a bath. And the next thing, what he did was very wrong, right? He slept with her. And here's the thing, his troubles don't stop there though. After learning Bathsheba is pregnant, he does this. It's not in your notes, I'm going to read it to you. It says, in the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab, who is the commander of the army of Israel, and sent it with Uriah, who is Bathsheba's husband. In it, he wrote, put Uriah out in the front where the fighting is the fiercest. Then withdraw from him so that he'll be struck down and die. So he did something that was very evil. I mean, remember, he's called a man after God's own heart. But you know what? Sometimes when you feel like you can't sleep, you're just at that point where you need to do something, and you do something evil. Wow, it just goes on from one evil act to another. And so, don't do that. Realizing your mind can just be wandering, you stop it and say, Lord, help me to have a mind after you. Because, you know what? Look what it says here in Psalm 36, 4. It says, even on their beds they plot evil. They commit themselves to a sinful course and do not reject what is wrong. Even on their what? Their beds. They're probably up all night and they're plotting what? Evil. And can you imagine David now has gotten himself in a whole load of mess. And Uriah does die because he sends him into the front lines. Where he says, you send him there, then everybody withdraw. And then guess what? He got killed. And you go, wow, how can you do that? But here's the thing. When you're restless in the middle of the night, and there's absolutely no one around, everyone is asleep, you're more likely to think and entertain evil thoughts and make plans to carry them out. But think about it. You ever been there late in the middle of the night? If you have a spouse, your spouse is sleeping next to you, and she or he is sound asleep, and you just start letting these thoughts come. If it's starting to get a little twisted, a little evil, stop it. Say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I will not entertain these thoughts. Because it is easy just to let it go, and it just starts to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And you really think about it in a way, you know what? The internet is kind of like a modern Bathsheba. Think about this. You turn your computer on because no one is awake. Everyone is snoozing. So I say, okay, I'm just going to check out what's on my computer. I'm just going to see what's on the Yahoo News and all that, right? And you know, especially men, when you think, oh, I'm not going to be tempted, I'll be okay, I can go sit in front of my computer, my wife asleep, my kids asleep, no problem. And guess what? What pops up on your screen? It says there, click on me for a good time, baby. There's a picture of a woman there. And you go, okay, I'm not going to do it. But then it starts to kind of like shake. Have you ever seen that? It starts to kind of... And you got to walk away from it. You got to get it out of there, right? You got to exit out. But that's the thing. We make a choice, right? We got to get away. Because no one is there. No one is watching, right? But we got to say, no, I'm a man of God. I'm going to get out of here. Because I'm not going to let you get your way, devil. I'm not going to let you have your way in death and destruction upon my marriage. You must get out of there. But you know what? Women, they're not as likely, right, to get tempted by sexual lust on the internet in the middle of the night. Guess what women usually go on? The sites, the internet sites.
Shopping.
Yeah, usually HSN, QVC, Amazon, or eBay. Right? You guys know what I'm talking about. I mean, guys too, right? But, you know, women, that's what they say. They usually go on a shopping site. And in the morning, they realize, man, I overspent. I put my credit card down on the table and say, okay, I'm going to spend whatever I want to buy. And you end up spending hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. And now you're wondering, how in the world am I going to pay for this? So you see what the devil, he's very crafty, right? He says, you're up. Hey, might as well do something fun. Do something daring. But you must say no to it, brothers and sisters. You must say, I ain't going there, devil, because I'm going to do what is holy, pure unto God. And another thing I want to mention, brothers and sisters, we got to be careful also of Facebook and Twitter, because I've heard many cases where, you know, brothers and sisters reunited with an old flame, you know, in the middle of the night. And we got to be careful that we do not let the devil tempt us in doing something that we know we're going to regret. Amen? And that's why I know, for me, I'll go on Facebook every now and then, but I won't stay on it long. Because I know temptation will probably be heading my way. And I'm going to say no to that. I'm going to say no to that. Amen? Well, number two here. The second thing you can do is study the word, right? The word study. You got the S there. You can write T-U-D-Y. Study the word. And I got a question for you. How often do you think Christians arise in the night, sleepless, and open the Bible? You ever done that? You arose in the middle of the night, and you grab your Bible. You open it, and you start reading. You guys, I want to know, who's done that before? Good. Awesome. All of us, both of us. And that's the best thing you can do. Because you can find comfort in the Word of God. You can find peace in the Word of God. Look what it says here in Psalm 119, 148. The psalmist writes, my eyes stay open through the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promises. And that's a good thing to do. Meditate on the promises of God. His promise is that I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. I promise I will leave with you my peace. Those are the promises you focus on. And I got to tell you, sooner than you know it, you may be snoozing away too. Look what this says in the next verse, in Psalm 1:2. It says, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. Meditate on his word. Just get his word right into your head. And as you read the scripture, say, Lord, fill me up more. I need more of you, Lord. Meditate on his laws. Meditate on what his word is instructing you to do. Look what it says in Psalm 63:6. It says, on my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. On my bed. This is actually a psalm of David. David wrote this. On my bed I remember you. And that's what you do. Just think about the goodness of God. Think of all the things he's done for you. Think about the very fact that he sent his son to die for you on the cross. And these are things. If we get our mind on these things, oh, you're going to be so relaxed. You're just going to be filled with his presence. You know, Martin Luther, who is the father of Reformation, Christian Reformation, is quoted in saying this. Listen, this is what he says. The Bible is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet, for it runs after me. It has hands. It lay his hands on hold upon me. Wow. And you got to understand, it is the word of God that comes after you. If you're living the Word, if you're constantly in fellowship with Him, His Word will come after you. Yes, even in the middle of the night, His Word will just come and you just receive it. Because I look upon it these two ways. Because, you know, there may be times in which you just wake up suddenly and you know the Holy Spirit has just given you a scripture, or He's telling you to just open up the Bible and read. You guys have experienced that before? I know the Holy Spirit says, Ben, open up your Bible. And sometimes I just start reading and just kind of flipping pages and, oh Lord, this is what I'm experiencing difficulty in my life right now. Lord, you knew, and I know you're showing me this is the answer. I've experienced these experiences many a time where He just shows me His Word in the middle of the night. And you just say, okay, Lord, show me more. Or there may be a scripture just constantly just going over and over your head. You wake up and you say, Lord, what are you trying to show me? What are you trying to say to me? You'll be amazed. The Holy Spirit will speak into your life with that scripture, and then He will remind you of maybe something that you need to get right with a brother or sister. Just start doing it. Say, Lord, I know you're speaking to me. Okay, I'm going to make it right. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to call that brother up. I'm going to make things right. It's amazing. That's how the Holy Spirit of God operates. He uses His Word to speak to you in a way that will convict your heart, to make things right. Make things right with Him. And as you realize He is speaking to you and giving you new revelation, oh, you're just going to say, Lord, give me more. Give me more. And then sooner than you know it, you're going to just be filled with so much joy. Then the peace comes. Then the snooze comes. And that's what it is. God gives it to us. You just receive it. And you know the scripture that says that we are to look into His Word. Look what it says in Psalm 119:130. It says, the unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to what? The simple. And you know what? Because when you think of unfolding, what does it mean? It means to open up, right? But you know what? It says the unfolding of your words. What it is, when you get into His Word, you open up the Bible, the Lord starts unfolding His revelation to you. That's what I'm talking about. He'll be speaking into your life directly. That's what it means to unfold His Word, to get understanding, to get meaning, to say, yes, Lord, I hear you. Lord, I am making it right. That is what it means to unfold His words. And He will give it to you if you come with a heart that is hungry for His instruction, hungry for His guidance. Amen? Amen. But, you know, also, we got to understand, there are times, you know, where, I got to tell you, the devil, he may want to give you a visit. Because he knows you're getting strong with the Lord. He knows that your life is being made right with Him. And the devil, he doesn't like that. So he will send a demon spirit. And you may have just, you know, woken up from a nightmare or a tormenting dream. And you may feel like there's some kind of evil presence in the room. Oh, don't freak out. Remember, you're a child of God. And you know what you can do? Just start calling on the name of Jesus. Immediately open up your Bible and just start reading. And say, Lord, I'm going to speak your word. And if you have a spouse, you don't want to, you know, be yelling out these scriptures. You can just, you know, just softly speak out the word of God. And you know, as His word is spoken, as the word of God just comes into you, you know, that devil, he's going to get out of there. He's not going to stick around. Look what it says here in Psalm 107:20-21. It says, He sends forth His word and He heals them. And He rescues them from the pit and destruction. And we know as the word of God comes in, oh, Satan is put in his proper place. Amen. Because it says in Romans, and the peace of God will soon crush Satan, where? Under our feet. And as you let the power of God just come forth and crush the dirty works of the devil, you know that peace will enter in. And you will have this kind of peace that will give you the sleep that you need. Amen? Well, number three here, it says service of kingdom work. Service of kingdom work. Service. You can write that word service in the blank. And if you are unable to sleep, you know, sometimes it's the perfect time to encourage someone or spur someone on. You know, look what it says in 2 Corinthians 11:27 to 28. It says, Paul writes to the Corinthians, I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. And you look at Paul, man, the way he writes, you know he has a pastor's heart. He's always praying for the people in his congregation, the people in all the churches that he has planted. He's constantly on his knees and he's praying. It shows he truly has a pastor's heart. And if you read in Paul's letters to the cities that he was ministering to, like Corinth and Galatia and Ephesus, you know, he was constantly counseling them. He was helping to plant churches. He was correcting their theology and their behavior and their conduct, constantly encouraging them. And the list goes on and on and on and on and on. And pastor's duties, I mean, they never end. But he's willing to do it because he has the heart, the passion to serve God. And no wonder Paul, he had to work through the night. But he knew this was the works of God. And so he did it with great passion. He never complained. He did it because he knew the love of God was in him. But you got to ask, oh, what do you want me to do, Pastor? You want me to call someone like 3 in the morning? Who's up that late? Only me, it seems, right? But no, don't call them. I'm not asking you to call someone 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the night. But you know what? You know, with technology, you know what we can do? We can write emails. And that's what I've done. I know a brother or sister that's struggling. I'll go to the computer and I'll just write them an email, a letter of encouragement. Say, I know, brother, you're struggling with this. Know that I'm praying for you. I'm thinking of you. Know that God will see you through this. Don't despair. God is your victory. And I'll just write things like that. And then if you receive it, you're going to realize, hey, Ben just sent me an email 3:45 in the morning. And you know what? Why not? I'm not going to wake you up, right? You're not going to receive it till probably when you wake up in the morning, right? So it's okay. We can do things. Why not? Because you're going to give God the glory. And you'll be surprised. Knowing you did something for God, God says, okay, I'm going to give you a sweet sleep because you did that. That's what God wants from us. Just the willingness just to be of service to Him, even when you cannot sleep. Amen? And look what it says in Galatians 6, 9 through 10. It says, let us not become what? Weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And it tells us to give priority to believers. So, you know what? Whatever we can do to be of service to our brethren, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, let's not stop. Let's not grow weary. And if you're restless, oh, because sometimes we just focus on ourselves when we're just lying on our bed with our eyes wide open. No, God says, do something. Do something good for me. Don't get weary in doing good. I will give you the strength. I will charge you up. Okay, Lord, I'm going. And you just watch. The presence of God will just come upon you. Amen? Well, number four here. And what we are to do is to sing songs of praise throughout the night. Oh, man, just sing songs. And this is what Paul and Silas did in Acts 16 when they were put in prison because after they were severely beaten, you know, because of the very fact they had casted a demon spirit out of a slave girl, and the master and the people that took witness of this, they objected to this because they said, this is not of God. What did they do? They casted out a demon spirit out of a slave girl. And now, after they were severely flogged, they're put in prison. Look what it says here in Acts 16, 25 through 29. It says here, around when?
Midnight.
Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, "Stop! Don't kill yourself! We are all here!" The jailer called for the lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And later on we read that Paul and Silas went to the home of the jailer and the entire household was safe. But that's the thing, we got to realize, you know, even in the middle of night, we can just start singing praises to God. When you feel like, oh, you're a little stressed and you realize that's the reason why you can't sleep, start praising God. And a lot of times we like to fall asleep to Christian worship music. We just let the CD player just go on and on, just keep playing. Oh, it's very comforting. It's very soothing as you kind of just start praising God. It's powerful, the praise of God. You know, I got to tell you, in the early 1800s, the citizens of this city called Feldrich, which is in the country of Austria, they was pretty much put in a dilemma. They didn't know what to do because Napoleon's massive army was preparing to attack them. You know, soldiers had been spotted on the heights above in the little town, which was situated above the Austrian border. You know, in the council of citizens, they gathered together, they were quickly summoned, and they had to decide, should they try to defend themselves or display a white flag of surrender? They said, okay, what are we going to do? Because they're totally outnumbered, right? And so, it happened to be Easter Sunday, and the people, they gathered in the local church. And this is what the pastor said to them. The pastor rose up and said to them, "Friends, we have been counting on our own strength, and apparently that has failed. As this is the day of our Lord's resurrection, let us ring the church bells, have our services as usual, and leave the matter entirely in His hands. We know only our weaknesses and not the power of God to defend us." You know what? The council accepted his plan, and the church bells, they rang. They blared and they just rang loudly. And you know what? The enemy, hearing the sudden ringing of bells, concluded that the Austrian army had arrived, and they arrived during the night to defend their town. And before the service ended, the enemy broke camp, and they all fled. Can you believe that? Just because they heard the church bells ringing. And you know what? Sometimes we got to make a loud, joyful noise. Well, don't wake up your spouse, though. But you can go in the bathroom or somewhere in the living room, and you just start praising God. And we know, oh, as you give those praises from deep within your soul, the enemy has no choice but to flee. The devil ain't going to stick around to torment you anymore. And we just cry out the name of Jesus. Jesus. I need your peace. And that devil, he's out of there. And you just let the peace of God just settle right into your heart. Look what it says here in Psalm 42:8. It says, "But each day the Lord pours His unfailing love upon me. And through each night I sing His songs, praying to God who gives me life." Through each night, the psalmist writes, I sing His songs. And Psalm 76 or 77 verse 6, it says, "When my nights were filled with joyful songs, I searched my soul and pondered the difference now." And you're going to notice there's a difference when you start praising God. Because yeah, you can pray to God, but don't forget to praise Him. And look what the psalmist writes. I realize there is a difference. You know what the difference is? It's in the atmosphere. What you may be feeling as stress, as worry and anxiety, it's gone. As you start praising our Lord God and King for what a mighty God He is, what an awesome God He is. Look what it says here in Psalm 119:62. It says here, "At midnight I rise to give you thanks for your righteous laws." thank Him for His Word, knowing that His Word gives you life. And I got to tell you about this conference that was in this Presbyterian church in Omaha, Nebraska. You know, people, as they entered in, this is a Presbyterian church, right? They were given helium-filled balloons, and they were told to release them at some point in the service when they felt like expressing the joy in their hearts. That's what they were told. Say, if you feel like the joy of the Lord is coming upon you, release the balloons. So, since they were Presbyterians, you got to understand, this is probably old-time Presbyterians. They weren't free to say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Because they didn't see it as necessary that, you know, you shout and yell out, oh, praise God, like that. They said, no, you got to refrain from that. That's what the congregants were told. And so all through the service, you know, the balloons were released, some of the balloons, and they were extended to the ceiling. But when it was over, one-third of the balloons were unreleased. One-third, people just still hold on to the balloons. And sometimes we got to realize, we got to let our balloon go. We're told when you give the joy, when you know the joy of the Lord is upon you, because the joy of the Lord never leaves us. You remember that? So as soon as you give it to me, I'm letting it go already. You give it to me, I got joy. That's what we got to do, because it's so important, you know. So two important things to remember. If you're up in the middle of the night, just remember what was discussed in this sermon. First of all, ring your bell, and then let your balloon go. So go like this, like that. Ring your bell, and let it go. I know it's kind of silly, right, to think about that, but you know what? You know what I'm trying to say here. You got to let your praise out. Let the praises of God just come forth. And just watch the peace of God just come and settle in your heart as you do. Amen? Well, number five here, the last S is supplication. S-U-P-P-L-I-C-A-T-I-O-N. And basically, that's when a person asks God to provide something. That's why you have the word supply in there, right? Supplication. You're asking God to supply you something that you need. And it could be for yourself or for someone else. And this is what it says in Isaiah 26:9. Look what it says there. My soul yearns for you in the night. In the morning, my spirit longs for you. When your judgments come upon the earth, may the people of the world learn righteousness. So you can see Isaiah, he's praying for the people of the world. He's saying that they will learn truly what it means to be right before God. You can see that's what's so important. We can just start praying, not just for ourselves, we start praying for others, our loved ones, even for people you don't know, strangers. Pray for the world. Look what it says in Lamentations 2:19. It says, arise, cry out in the night as the watches of the night begin. Pour out your heart like water in the presence of the Lord. Lift up your hands to Him for the lives of your children who faint from hunger at every street corner. And here we see the prophet Jeremiah. He's praying for his people. He's praying for the children. And he says, Lord, we are trusting in you that you will provide for our need, because our children, they're starving. And he's going to the Lord in the middle of the night saying, Lord, please help us. And then look at Luke 6, 12 to 13. It says here, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated as apostles. And we have to understand, in making very important decisions, what did Jesus do? He spent the night praying. He got on his knees and say, Lord, I'm seeking after you to help me to choose the 12 disciples. And that's what he did. After he finished praying all night, the 12 disciples were chosen. And you know, I got to tell you about Leonardo da Vinci. You know who that is, right? Did you know he spent countless nights meditating on the things of the Spirit as he worked on the famous canvas called The Last Supper? You know, as reported, he spent so much time in meditating in the courts of the monastery that some of the monks in the community became concerned. They questioned the artist about his wasting of precious time and money. Can you imagine? These are the monks saying this. And the question was, why do you spend so much time with us in prayer when you have come here to work? They said that to him. And Leonardo answered, when I pause the longest, I make the most telling strokes with my brush. I like that word, telling. Telling strokes with my brush. In other words, he knew exactly what the Lord wanted in the painting when he was quiet and still before the Lord. It's like the Lord telling him, okay, this is exactly how I want you to paint it. This kind of facial expressions, the colors. He says, when I'm quiet with him, the Lord tells me. You see that? So when we are up in the middle of the night, just say, okay, I want to be quiet here, Lord. Start telling me what you want to tell me, because I'm all ears and I'm all heart, Lord. Speak to me. And he will. He will, because that could be the reason why you're up. He wants to speak to your heart. Amen? And here's the thing. You know, you may not feel... you may not feel you're all that good with prayer, because people tell me that I'm not that good in praying. But you can be sure you're no good at all without it. We got to make sure this is a discipline that we do every single day. Without fail, we should be praying to God. Speak to him from your heart, because he's listening. He wants to hear from you because he loves you. And if you look in the bottom of your page, I want to introduce to you what I call Bible breathers. And you know, remember I told you earlier, the doctor says that we gotta have like some kind of breathing exercise or technique to help us to relax. Well, I kind of learned to incorporate breathing with scripture. And these three scriptures, I mean, these are very common ones that pastors will use if someone, you know, has trouble sleeping. And this is how I do it. First, you kind of inhale through your nose. And then as you exhale, you're going to recite the scripture. Okay? So why don't we give it a try? Look here, Psalm 4:8. So I'm going to just show you how to do this. Okay. We're not going to do the entire thing because you might run out of breath. Right? The first one. So the first time we may go up to where it says sleep in peace. Okay? So we can take an inhale first. And exhale, say it out loud. I will lie down and sleep in peace. Let's inhale again. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. The next one. Inhale. For he grants sleep to those he loves. And the next one, we can stop where it says afraid. Okay, ready? Inhale. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Inhale. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. You guys feeling gonna fall asleep right now? I know I feel a little bit woozy right now. I feel like I'm gonna take a long nap after this. But that's what it's all about. Let the word of God just give you the peace you need to have a restful sleep. And I want to conclude by playing this video for you. And it's a song that I just discovered yesterday. It's sung by this Christian artist. His name is Charlie Hall. And the title of his song is Sleep and Dreams. And you won't hear this coming from the pulpit where a pastor will tell you, if you want to go to sleep, go to sleep. I'm going to tell you, if you let the Holy Spirit just come in as you listen to this song, you feel like you're going to snooze, go ahead. Probably won't hear that from me ever again up here in the pulpit. But I'm going to do this because I want you to just experience the peace of God. When you get your mind, your heart centered on him, his peace comes. He promises a sweet sleep. Arthur, could you go ahead and play that video, please?
Close your eyes, it's time to sleep. is the time to breathe and dream. I pray that bands of angels fill your room, and the songs of God would come consume you. Rest your head on hallelujahs. Rest your
rest your head on
Praise God. Who fell asleep? Peace of God, when it just comes and settle in to your heart. That's what it's all about. If you're up at night and you're just pacing to and fro, you're forgetting that God says, rest in me. Because he said, I sent my son to give rest for your weary souls. If you're weary, you say, Lord, I choose to rest upon you. I choose to rest upon your promises. And as you do, God will come and will fill your soul with his peace, with his love, with his joy. And it's unending. As we keep on crying out to him, as we keep on saying, Lord, I need you, it keeps flowing and it doesn't stop. But remember, it's okay. If you suddenly wake up in the middle of the night, don't start saying, why, Lord, why are you allowing me to just be all pent up and stressed out and not be able to sleep? No, just start praising God. Don't curse God. Start praising him. And say, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that I'm awake, because now I can get in your word and just let your word speak to me in ways that I will come alive. And as the word of God just gives you strength, gives you power, shows you the word that will give you what you need to live victoriously, peace will come. You understand? That's what happens. The peace will come. And suddenly you're... as the peace has come. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. Why don't we go and bow our hearts before God? Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the message spoken today. And I ask you, Lord, if any of us are struggling at night, Lord, because we're up all night, because it may be worry or anxiety, I pray, Lord, we're going to say, we're releasing it to you now. And I pray, as your peace comes, I pray for every brother and sister in this room, that as they settle upon the peace that comes from heaven, they will take it into their hearts, receive it, and let it just continually grow. I pray they will have such a sweet sleep tonight. Oh, let it be so sweet, Lord, filled with sweet dreams. Let there be no room for worry or anxiety. And if that's you, you know, and you're saying, Pastor Ben, I kind of realize I've been hanging on to worries and anxieties. That's why I can't sleep at night. It seems like I'm almost tormented, but knowing God says, my promise is to you, I will give you a sweet sleep if you just release it. Give it to me. Give it to me, Father God says. If you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and say, let it go. Let it go. Give it to me. And you're willing to say, Lord, it's all yours. Can you simply raise your hand so that I can pray for you? Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Ready? You put your hands down. Let's pray. Father God, you've seen all the hands that were raised. But Lord, more importantly than anything, it's the hearts behind those hands saying, Lord, I'm submitting all my cares unto you. Father God, as they come with the heart that is totally surrendered to you, Father, I pray, Lord, the peace from heaven that you bring forth will come upon their minds and in their hearts, in their souls, and in their spirits. I pray, as they come with a heart that is true, saying, Lord, I've surrendered it to you. Let their sleep, I pray, Father God, be supernaturally sweet. Because when they wake up in the morning, oh, they're going to be more than just refreshed. They're going to be so alive in Christ. And I know they're going to have the joy of the Lord, the peace of the Lord, the love of the Lord all over them. They're going to be so energized in the Holy Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord. You do this for us because you love us so much. It's the only thing we can really say to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in all of our lives here, knowing, Lord, that you're going to continue to guide us and lead us, Lord. And if you're going to speak to us in the middle of the night, so be it, Lord. Speak to us. Speak to us in ways that will truly transform us, that will truly make us more like your son, Jesus Christ, that we're going to humble ourselves. We're going to throw away that pride that is bringing forth death and destruction in our lives. And I ask you, Lord, let your humility, the humility of Christ, enter in and fill our lives, overflowing of your goodness. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now, there may be some of you saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I've heard of people talking about having a relationship with God, with Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started? Well, you can start by praying a simple prayer, but it must come from your heart. We're going to pray this prayer in just a minute here. And if you know that the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart, telling you, come to Jesus today. Don't fight it. Don't deny it. Say, Lord, I want to receive you this day. And God will come in and he will transform you as you read his word, as you commune with him. And you know right now the Holy Spirit, if he's tugging at your heart, and you say, yes, Lord, I'm ready to receive you. I'm ready to give my life fully unto you. Can you raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to give my life to Jesus. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Praise God. You can put your hands down. Let's pray this prayer out loud. Let's pray together as a family united in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Just repeat after me. Say, Father God.
Father God.
I need you.
I need you.
And I give you praise for who you are.
I give you praise for who you are.
I believe in you.
I believe in you.
And I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ.
I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ.
Who died for me on the cross.
Who died for me on the cross.
But on the third day.
But on the third day.
He rose again.
He rose again.
And he lives in my heart. I give you praise for that.
I give you praise for that.
And Father God,
Father God,
I confess that I'm a sinner.
I confess that I'm a sinner.
But your word says, if I confess of my sins,
if I confess of my sins,
you are faithful and just.
You're faithful and just
to forgive me of my sins.
Forgive me of my sins.
And cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
Cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
Cleanse me now, Lord.
Cleanse me now, Lord.
Make me holy and pure unto you.
Make me holy and pure unto you.
So now I say this.
Now I say this.
So you can hear me, Father God.
So that you can hear me, Father God.
And so that everyone can hear me.
So everyone can hear me.
And so that I can hear myself.
And I can hear myself.
And so that the devil can hear me.
The devil can hear me.
Jesus Christ is my Lord.
Jesus Christ is my Lord.
I live for him.
I live for him.
And I live for a moment.
I live for him.
Father God,
Father God,
write my name,
write my name
in your book of life.
Your book of life.
For I give you praise.
For I give you praise.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name.
And everyone says, Amen. Amen. Let's all stand.